This is great. Chilling by the ocean, waves crashing, drink on the side. Death Star flying above me. Are those TIE fighters?
The sun is out and our blockade is legal. Join Robin Boat and Sean Michaud right now. Right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Brick City Blockade Podcast here live this evening. And boy, oh boy, what an evening it is, gentlemen. We have been waiting for it.
Hey, what are you talking
about? Maybe something. I don't know. You know, we've been talking about it. We've been bitching about it a little bit, too. Specifically, I've been bitching about it a little bit. Sean,
I've been patient.
You're just a big bitch.
Hold on a second here. We also have a preview of an amazing event happening on Friday that we get to be at. It's one that we've been wanting to attend for a very long time. PAX East 2024. The Brick City Blockade is going to be live from the Boston.
It's going to be there.
Justin.
Yeah, that's right. Andrew's going to be there, Commander Nerd, doing all kinds of coverage and amazing stuff from the floor of the convention center. But hey, let's go around. Sean Michaud, how's it going this evening?
Good. I'm excited for Friday.
I'm not convinced.
I know. We were sitting there before the stream started. Sean's like, hi, guys. I'm here talking about.
Sorry. I was just tired. I'm trying to get some energy up now. We're talking about Star Wars and we're going to be talking about the trailer today, so
what
I'm
trailer?
Excited. What trailer? The trailer for Mad Max.
Dune Part 3?
Oh, whoa, I didn't think that was coming out just yet. Jeez, oh, crow. Mr. Andrew Garish, of course, Commander Nerd himself. Andrew, how's it going?
Hello there. It's going great. We finally got that Star Trek trailer.
Oh, geez. There goes half of our viewers and listeners. Oh boy, what a start. Shaylin, are you able to turn this ship around a little bit?
Are we supposed to be live on Instagram right now?
Are we not?
Okay. Wait, wait. who's on our man?
Imagine if we're just not live at all.
That's okay. No, we're live on YouTube though.
Okay,
so
sorry. Trying something new and
That's okay. That's
it's a learn of progress.
It is. It is indeed.
The Facebook lives didn't always work. When we first
it's true, but we can blame that on Meta and Instagram's Meta too. So I guess
I was just about to say they're kind of
connected.
We'll blame it on Mark.
That's right,
fucking Mark.
Oh, freaking Mark, I'm telling you. So, guys, let's get around here and let's talk about a little trailer that was dropped today from The Acolyte. They had a big teaser yesterday saying, hey, guess what? Tomorrow. You guys are finally getting a trailer. Everybody freaked out across social media and was like, it's about time. Mm-hmm. And then today, they even told us what time it was going to drop at, 11 a.m. Eastern time.
That was yesterday that we got information.
We got the first poster, and then it's like, hey, by the way, the trailer's tomorrow at 11.
Which, that poster is nuts.
Yeah. I really like how they did that poster. Mm-hmm. And the lightsaber kind of looks like Yoda's on that poster. Just a more... Sure.
Yeah. The thing that I got the most from it is that the lightsaber, like the blade of the lightsaber, like that's a streak of blood.
It's kind of symbolic when in the books and stuff like that, to make the lightsaber red, you have to quote-unquote bleed the crystal, which I do like that touch with that.
I think it's like referring to the violence, and I mean, we can talk about this more in a second, but
no, it's
you have your outline. I want to stick your outline rather than jump all over the place.
No, it's good.
If you have ADHD, it's fine.
Yeah,
so Star Trek trailer.
No, not the Star Trek trailer. The Acolyte trailer finally dropped today. And wow, I know I went on Instagram Live, and of course it's during the work day, so not everybody's like, oh, I'm going to hop on Instagram and watch this doofus talk about this trailer.
Luckily, I was off at the day.
So luckily, Andrew was on to save the show. And
sorry, I was working. I was not able to save it.
I did get a promotion at my job, though. So.
Hey! A round of applause for Andrew right there. Congratulations on that. You got an accolade trailer and a promotion.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I had to strike down my previous co-worker, and I took his place.
Look at that, like a true Sith Lord.
Well, the Sith always had the best outfits.
No, this is true. This is true.
I mean, look at Darth Vader. He has the cool armor, and he has breathing problems, but, you know.
So do I.
But I mean, don't we all? Oh.
I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not alone in this.
I mean, asthma, sleep apnea.
I mean.
Renee's got asthma, too, so. We're all fucked up.
We, in fact, all have breathing problems.
You know who's about to get fucked up? All those Jedi in the Acolyte trailer.
Yeah.
Let's break this thing down, guys. I mean, what are your first reactions? Andrew, I'll start with you. Your first reactions to this trailer, because we'll break it down scene by scene, but it's everything and more that I was expecting.
I am so happy. Don't get me wrong. I liked Andor. But I'm glad we're getting out of that era where it's the Skywalkers, the Mandoverse. It's a brand new era of Star Wars that we don't know anything about. And I like how familiar it seems, but also different at the same time. Like the Jedi Temple, it looks a lot cleaner than it did during the Clone Wars. So someone kept up their cleaning job at the temple 100 years ago. Well, yeah. But just how different the robes are too. Like I mentioned during your live stream, I'm like, it's interesting that they're wearing all white at the temple, but when they're out like on a mission or something, it's like the brown, like darker robes and stuff like that.
Streetwear versus
it's
just something about the white cape
that
I'm Jedi. Forgetting the actor's name, but the main Jedi that we're going to be following, the white cape and just his outfit alone is just really stands out.
It's gorgeous. I mean, we knew this with the High Republic comics and the content and everything. We were kind of exposed to this design, this new look for the High Republic itself. And, you know, it's both regal, but like you said, there's regality that exists within the Jedi Temple during training. The minute you get out into the field, whether in taking that training to action, those robes are gone. you're putting on your Jedi robes and you're going to action. It's just to see that transition in the trailer with these characters specifically from the temple out to the world where they're obviously going to be battling. It seems like more than just one dark disciple in this case.
Well, from what I've been reading is the group of women that we see is a witch coven. So is it like the start of the Night Sisters that we're going to see?
Yeah,
start. I think the Night Sisters have been around for probably longer than the Jedi, or as long as the Jedi.
Sean, what are some of your initial thoughts coming off of this trailer?
I mean, a gorgeous trailer. This trailer kind of reminds me. It looks very martial artists kind of like it's got that very Japanese type style. Like I don't know what it is, but I think it's the way it's filmed and how it's like, especially the fighting in that. You can see that really early on. You can see it very, you can see those kicks of, what's her name? Amandla. I don't know the character's name, but she's doing the kicks in the air. It's very much from
The Matrix.
Yeah. Great casting, by the way.
Great casting. I mean,
the fact that she's a Jedi just makes it even better.
Maybe
she's a Sith. We don't know.
I mean, who knows? That could be her picking up the red lightsaber in the trailer.
Right.
Star Wars theory.
But I like how this trailer, I think it's going to give an opportunity old fans maybe to come back, but also bring in new fans. Because it's looks like it's totally something new for especially newer Star Wars fans. They don't know about the High Republic. Old Republic, which I like that.
Yeah, as a as a movies fan, and that's what I consider myself. I consider myself movies first, then live action TV, and then animated TV shows fan. Because like that was my only experience with it. I didn't know that there was this canon or lore that went so much deeper. But in Solo, not Solo, in Rogue One, specifically when they're raiding the temple, and I am one with the Force and the Force is with me, like that, like barely scratching the surface that there's more to the Jedi and there's more to the history of the Jedi, and seeing those like epic, like carved statues, and the idea that the Jedi used to be so much more influential and hold so much more power, and that it was like such an institution, and that we are seeing in the events of the prequels the kind of the last dregs of that culture and the demise of that culture. And so I've always said from the beginning, I would really love to dive in and see kind of more what the Jedi used to be and more what the Jedi like were before all of that knowledge was lost. Because by the time we get to Obi-Wan, by the time we get to Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, like so much of the Jedi knowledge and so much of the Jedi tradition has been eroded over time, because it's an institution that has stood so long and suffered so much as the galaxy changed around it. And there are relics of it, and it seems like they hinted in some of the TV shows, some of the films, that the Jedi used to be a lot more powerful, and that there used to be a lot more to it, right? So, it's just going to be interesting to see. And I hope that they honor that in the show rather than, I mean, I understand that this is several hundred years before the events of the prequels. But it will likely lay the groundwork for the fall of the Jedi, but I hope that they do a good enough job of establishing the Jedi culture before they start to take it apart, right? Because every single story that we've told so far has had to do with the Jedi, the dysfunctionality of the Jedi culture. So I would like to see, at least for like half an episode or something, like, this culture lasted for so long. So it must have some sticking power. It can't have always been corrupt. So I would very much like to see like an example of what the culture was supposed to look like before it was corrupted. Being corrupted or something like that.
I think, because it's already greenlit for a season two.
Correct.
I think what they will do, this is just my thoughts on it, is obviously I've already seen debates on Ki-Adi Mundi being like, oh, the Sith have been extinct for a millennium. The Jedi can't know about the Sith. But it's like, you know how arrogant the Jedi were at that point? It's like, just because you haven't seen a Sith in a millennia doesn't mean they weren't behind the scenes doing shit. And also, who's to say the Jedi 100 years ago weren't like, let's keep this under wraps.
Right.
People find out that this is here.
Sure. Yes, right.
How far before the events of the prequels is the Acolyte?
Is it like 100 years?
100, 100 years?
100. Yeah.
The books for the High Republic is 200.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is about 100 years after the High Republic book. So this is the tail end of the High Republic.
Got it.
Yeah. It's a good bridge sequence for anybody who's been reading the High Republic content and then, you know, preparing for Phantom Menace, of course, coming to theaters. I mean, teasing this in the storyline. I mean, now we're going to have
perfect timing.
It is. It really is.
Because this releases literally a month after the Phantom Menace re-releases in theaters.
Yeah.
And it's a 2-episode premiere, which I think is good.
I love that.
It is only 8 episodes. I am kind of getting a little tired on just the 8 episodes. I wish there were a little bit more, but that's just
me. Longer though.
From what I saw, they're 30-minute episodes each.
Yeah.
It would be better if it was like 42, 50.
I agree. But it also depends on how fast moving the series is, too.
This is true.
The other thing is, it is 100 years before Phantom Menace. And there is a certain Grand Jedi Master who is about 1,000 years old. When do you think we see Yoda in this series?
As a baby?
No, not as a baby.
No,
I'm joking.
At this point,
he's joking.
He's like 800, 750 or something at this point.
Spring chicken.
Yeah,
I feel like we're getting more Yaddle. I think.
Well, we probably could. I guess Bryce Dallas Howard, the voice acting job again.
Yeah,
true.
I guess see that.
Yeah, I don't think you noticed that we didn't get any Yoda. We didn't get any
teeth. Sorry.
I think coming at this, like I said, as a movies fan, like preliminary, I think that that makes sense that they wouldn't include a known character in the kind of teaser for this because we know that he's probably going to show up at some point, either in a cameo or in a pivotal role. We don't know how. But he's probably gonna show up because he's been around for so long. He's been such an integral part of the Jedi Order. But they probably want fans to know that this happens before any of our known characters are alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if they put him in there, people would be like, oh, where's Obi-Wan? Oh, where's Qui-Gon? Where's, you know, where are all these people that we know? Well, they haven't fucking been born yet. So their grandparents. Except
maybe Palpatine. I don't exactly know the age of Palpatine.
Yeah, I think we're at an interesting point, too, in terms of the marketing. They've finally given us the trailer. If we see anything Yoda-related, I don't think it's going to be until, like, a month before this actually hits.
Well, I mean, like, what episode do you guys think he would show up in?
Physical episode is what
it is. Physical?
Yeah.
Either probably the last two or... till next
season. I think
maybe. Or have a mention in first season, and then
he'll be mentioned
second season, he'll show up.
Yeah.
Yep.
He'll be mentioned a lot, but maybe episode 5, maybe.
Towards halfway.
Yeah.
Halfway point.
Either that, or what they could do instead is they could kind of have him always there in the background and just like be not the main character, just like maybe the main Jedi like confers with him about something, and then like Yoda is in the temple doing his own thing parallel to this one, kind of like how Obi-Wan consults Yoda for certain things, but Yoda's not like the one doing any of the main stuff.
Yeah.
It could be kind of like that as well, because that's kind of the role that Yoda has played too, is his advisor. And so even 100 years ago, he was probably playing that same role because
the main character is a Jedi Master. So it would make sense for him to mainly report to Yoda, because Yoda at this point is still Grand Master. But the interesting thing at this point, there's 3 Grand Masters. So not all the weight of everything falls onto Yoda.
Right.
That's the thing that I'm surprised with by the time the Clone Wars is that it's only Yoda as the Grand Master, and that's why Yoda's just like, I don't give a shit anymore.
You're right. Okay, yeah. So the actors for the Jedi Master is Lee Jung Jae, and then Carrie Ann Moss is also the Jedi Master.
Yeah, okay.
The coven, Jodie Turner-Smith is the mother. She's the leader of the witches.
Yes.
Which is very interesting.
From what it seems,
probably a different type of witch than we encountered before in the Clone Wars, because they don't look the same as the witches that we encountered in Clone Wars.
I mean, it's not like the same witches from like Ahsoka.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Right. We're talking about different, other than Night Sisters, we're talking about, you know. Yeah. Whether it's the origins or the Night Sisters exist and there's a separate clan.
Or they could just be like dark side disciples or something like that.
Right.
Happen to be like a witch coven.
Force users.
Force users, right? Yeah. There's a line about this is about power. You have the quote, right?
Yes.
It's about power and who's allowed to use it. And so,
I love that line too.
I love the quotes, like the balanced force, and then the fire, which is very interesting.
Yeah, and that's where I was like, is that Shayla?
Play by play.
Actually, that was one of the things too for this evening. Is like, I went back through the trailer. At least Shaylin was sleeping. I went through the trailer like at least seven.
She was meditating.
Meditating. She's preparing for Boston. She's preparing for Boston.
In case you want to say airsoft fatty, yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
Hey, he's a New Englander now.
So. Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
The chances of running into him are slim, but there are still chances of running into him.
I think it's interesting that you use the term slim for that, too. So, I mean,
pun intended.
Unintended.
It was intended.
Watching the trailer multiple times, I took some notes.
How many times did you watch the trailer?
15 total.
15?
I watched it three because that's all I had time.
I think I got to about seven.
Seven
was when I was like analyzing every little thing.
Yeah.
So yeah. I watched it during work. During lunch, and then
I wouldn't have hated it if I was at work and the trailer dropped. I'm like,
I watched it four times. So I watched it twice there because I had it.
You lied.
And then I then I watched it when I came home, and then I watched it with you guys. Yeah. So I didn't really have time to break it down.
Right. So let's get into it a little bit, because we start off the trailer and just going in depth with research on this trailer. It's funny, all the other Star Wars trailers leading up to this point, I feel like I haven't had, I'm not saying I haven't had the motivation to go through and do the research for it, but this one in particular does, mm-hmm. You kind of have to do your research
and it's see things fresh are stuff and it's new.
It's new. Like,
Ahsoka, yeah, it's new, but mm-hmm. It's also stuff we're familiar with.
Right, yes, exactly.
Besides Baylan Skull and Shin Hati.
So we open up on Coruscant, and we have the Jedi younglings being...
Is it Coruscant, though?
I think it is.
Clean up Coruscant?
They cleaned up the town a little bit. So it opens up with the Jedi Master saying, close your eyes.
I was looking at the comments on YouTube because I was looking at it, and then this is Alien. I can't. Just looking at the YouTube comments are hilarious.
It opens up with close your eyes can deceive you, mm-hmm. We cannot trust them. That line specifically came from a very specific Jedi in A New Hope.
Luke Skywalker.
It was Obi-Wan Kenobi specifically. But yes, Chewbacca. Obi-Wan Kenobi said those exact words to Luke when he went to go put on the helmet as he was doing his training. So here we go. We're building.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's not a New Hope line. So I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. And as we pan over the line of what do you see? And the student saying, I see fire. My mind immediately went to, holy shit. Remember, if this is on Coruscant, this temple is sitting above a former.
Shit, I didn't even think of that.
This child is sensing the dark side rising from underneath the temple itself, and they're seeing fire. Now, whether other students see this after the fact is going to be very cool.
What if she's getting a slight vision of the future that's to come?
She's literally watching the fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan. She's
watching the temple burn. She's watching
the
temple be destroyed.
She's watching, I hate you.
I see this Canadian guy on fire.
I mean, it is a significant event in Jedi history, so if somebody's gonna feel it from that far in the future, I mean, not like there's anything they can do about it, but that would be weird.
Not die.
Well, they'd be dead before it happens.
True. So.
Yeah.
You're right.
But knowing the Jedi, they would be like, oh, you're just don't trust your visions, because they could mean many different things.
Go ahead.
But like just the come of that scene itself, like,
yes,
we've gotten very little like training stuff from like a Jedi Master to like younglings or even Padawans. We got a little bit with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan was more of a dick towards Anakin as a master.
This is true.
But it's just the line from Obi-Wan, and it's just like hearing the different things that they're seeing.
Yeah.
And from what I understand is, if it is the same character that the girl is seeing fire, is she's a former apprentice of the main character. broke away, and that there's an uneasy alliance when they get back together.
Oh, wow. Wow. I mean, I think that that's the direction I think that they're trying. That you wouldn't put that in a trailer unless you were teasing something. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the beauty of it. And then it gets into someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense. That's the whole thing, right? Yeah. And I'm sure on the other side, there are acolytes saying we're being slaughtered left and right by Jedi, right? Mm-hmm. The acolytes are on both sides here. We have Jedi who are fighting for their cause and acolytes who are...
But they're called younglings, Robin.
Younglings, okay, right. but we're going to have some time jump in here too, I have a feeling as well.
I think so. Yeah. I think...
To where that's going to
be. The beginning of the trailer is going to be probably the opening for the series.
Yeah.
That'll do a time jump like 20 years later or something like that.
We also get this amazing forest shot, which, by the way, I went back, did some legends research from the original BrickCityBlockade.com website when we had a lot of the legends breakdown of planets that we did. Mm-hmm. And I was really digging in deep, and let me know your thoughts on this. There was a specific planet from the Old Republic that was almost eerily significant to some of the
Mandalorian Wars, right?
Mandalorian Wars, yeah. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, why am I blanking on the planet's name?
It's called Thyfera.
Yeah, that's where the Mandalorian Wars like broke out and everything like that. That's
where they broke out, and it's also where Darth Revan's Sith Empire grew from.
Shit. Oh. And Revan's cult does exist in the new canon. So
that's right. That's right. So here are those connections. This is what Dave Filoni and the entire team is so good at.
Is Filoni involved in the fight?
I don't know officially. I have a feeling he's overseeing some of this in some way, shape, or form.
Well, then again, he's like the creative supervisor or something like that, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so everything that probably goes through any of these shows has to probably go through him first.
Most likely, yeah. I would say so. So, I mean, Thyfera being in this would make complete sense.
Yeah.
To the storyline. And then we also get the snow planet shot, right? Where where the ship is crashing. Yeah. My first thought went to Ilum. That suddenly...
Because we haven't seen it in live action. We've seen it in animated form as well as in Fallen Order. And then eventually, technically we did see it in live action because it does, spoiler alert, it does become Starkiller Base.
Right, right. So we're at this interesting spot now where we could be introduced to Thyfera from the Legends, be brought back to Ilum, and Ilum would make so much sense too because of its Kyber crystal richness and because it could be a place for somebody who is training in the dark side to go and get a crystal to bleed. Like, that is the coolest part of all this.
You know what we haven't really seen live form, like, other than, like, Rey getting her crystal? Like, actually going to find a crystal, like in a cave or something.
Yeah,
like,
we haven't really seen that in live action. We obviously got that Clone Wars episode where all the younglings were getting their crystals.
I'm
so glad that there's a Wookiee Jedi Master in this series.
Yes, absolutely.
Junus is back playing him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really cool.
Cool.
I mean,
everyone's going to be like, oh, Chewie, he's a Jedi now.
They did mention in the Clone Wars, especially with that the Younglings arc, that Force-sensitive Wookiees are very rare. So it makes sense that we haven't really seen many, but it will be fun to have one.
Yeah. Especially because from what I've heard, he specifically prefers like a solitary life. So he prefers to be by himself.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see if he does help or if he just stays by himself.
Right. It could be one of those character arcs where he's off on the side, kind of doing his own thing. And then the one moment they need him, boom.
He's there. And then he's gone.
Yeah, right. And then he's gone again. Like that'd be pretty cool on its own. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about what is that.
Oh, you want to get you want to go right in there. Okay. So the line where the young Jedi say, "What is that?"
Which is also Daphne King, who was X-23 in Logan, which honestly, fantastic
for her. You're right. I forgot about
Fantastic for her. She's 19. She's killing it.
Doing amazing. She's doing amazing. Yeah. I mean, I think what is that is referring to the
She scene. Was also in His Dark Materials.
Yes.
Didn't watch that, but
I think they're referring to the red sabers when it's ignited.
Yeah, because at this point, the red sabers are rare to see.
And the thing that I pointed out, Robin thought that it was a Sith. They were talking about a person. And I was like, well, no, if you are raised in a culture with many different species, you're not going to refer to somebody as a what, regardless of what their species is. Unless they're like a droid or something, like, then you're not going to say, what is that? I thought that you, like you said, Andrew, since the red sabers are so rare and these young Jedi maybe have never even thought of the possibility of doing that to a lightsaber, because when you exist, so think about it this way, think about it in terms of things that are appropriate and inappropriate to do. If you are not exposed to kind of a realm of things that are perverse, you won't even think that that is something that somebody would ever do. And then you hear about some like an awful person doing an awful thing, and you're like, I never would have even known that that's something another person can do. So the idea that you could do that to a kyber crystal, you could pervert the power that badly, you could abuse the power that badly, that it becomes that color, that it takes on that power, is not even something that would enter these children's minds. And maybe even the Jedi Master's minds. Like, he probably had heard about it in passing, but hearing about something terrible in passing and seeing it firsthand is very, very different. So I thought that maybe the idea of a red lightsaber could be as horrible as like a body horror moment for these Jedi.
Yeah.
A lightsaber and a kyber crystal is such a sacred item to the Jedi, to see it twisted in this way, even if the master who's with the younglings has heard of this phenomenon before, likely is disgusted by it, likely has never seen it before. But we as viewers have been seeing red lightsabers for so long. It's like part of the canon, it's part of the fandom, it's part of the lore, and we think they're super cool because they're red and shiny and woo. The idea that we might be able to frame a red lightsaber as a perverse dark instrument for the first time, which is really what it's supposed to be. The idea of bleeding a lightsaber, like, I didn't even know that's why Sith lightsabers were red. I didn't know that for the
What you have me for.
It's not included in the screen canon. So it's off screen canon. And so, you know, for fans like me who were predominantly film fans, like, you're not exposed to it. So I'm very excited at the idea that we might be able to talk about, like, this is something like, for example, like a Horcrux. Like, this is a really terrible to do with the Force. This is abhorrent. This is wrong. This is like goes against everything that the Force is, regardless of if you're a Jedi or not, to like have that kind of conversation about red lightsabers and bled kyber crystals.
I think that's also like very what you're saying there, it like really relates to the poster, like itself. It really, now I'm thinking back at it, it really reminds me of a horror film poster.
And from what the vibes I'm getting from like just the trailer, the fact the entire show is going to be a murder mystery series.
A serial killer murder mystery.
Could it be they're seeing someone bleed the crystal?
That would be cool.
Because we've never seen that in live action.
I mean, that would
be really cool.
Yeah.
Because it's especially if the Sith that might be in it, two Sith could possibly be in it. Could be Darth Plagueis, and it could also be his master. I'm forgetting his name.
Yeah, I know. Is that
Tenebris?
Tenebris, something like that. Yeah, yeah, master. Yep.
Well, Palpatine could also be in it too.
Depending upon he'd be pretty.
Palpatine could be a child at this point.
No, but he could be the acolyte, right? He could be the acolyte to the Sith.
True. That's true. Yeah.
Especially if he's his whole arc with Anakin is that Plagueis learned how not to die and how to keep people from dying. So we have no idea how old Palpatine is. Palpatine is probably functionally immortal.
And now Palpatine returned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only reason he maybe had to invest in cloning like we're seeing in Bad Batch is because he came forward and assumed that power in the light, as it were. Like, he publicly is out there doing the thing as the Emperor. And so now he's got a bigger target on his back than when he was kind of an undercover Sith working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have an interesting moment here, too, where we can reflect on some of the novels of the past and actually say that, yeah, the Plagueis novel is considered not canon. They have an opportunity to go back through here and say, yeah, you know what? Palpatine was born at this time, and he was able to find a way to stay alive and be immortal all the way through.
And the creator of the series did say she's going to pull from legends.
Exactly.
For me, from a storytelling point of view, it does not make a lot of sense to have a story in a canon that already exists with an enemy that we have never encountered. So there has to be some connection, very pertinent connection to our existing knowledge in our existing canon. So there has to be, it's either going to be Plagueis, or it's going to be Palpatine, or it's going to be somebody that we know as our main villain. Because the payoff and the connection to our existing knowledge does not give the same kind of effect if it's like completely separate. Like going into it, like you're not going to know anybody and it has nothing to do with anything you've ever watched before. Like, that doesn't make sense.
So like everything
that happens in this series will compound and snowball to the effects of the prequels and the Clone Wars.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, the main villain doesn't have to be a Sith.
That's true.
Not yet. By the end of the...
We saw a red lightsaber, so there will be.
I mean, will be. Yeah. Yeah,
that could always be Plagueis. The Acolyte could... So, now that you bring up Palpatine, so what they could do, they might have Palpatine at the very end of the series.
Yes.
That Palpatine was the one actually murdering these Jedi, but they set up this other person that they were saying that, oh, we'll bring you in as another Sith for us and stuff like that. And then it's revealed that it's Palpatine that was doing all these things behind the scenes, which is what Palpatine's great at. The other thing I wanted to point out is the Jedi Master's expression, because after she's like, oh, what is that? His expression is fear.
Yeah, straight up.
Whatever they see, it's on a Jedi Master to show fear like that. It like Shaylin said, like, it's rare that you see a red lightsaber. If it's someone bleeding the lightsaber crystal, especially that if they're going undercover, could be his former student that bleeds the crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to point out, so the reason why Ahsoka's lightsabers are white is because she healed a bleeding crystal. And when you heal a bleeding crystal, that's when it turns into a white silver color.
Purified, yeah.
Yeah, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's...
I mean, that feels like true neutral to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And the
other part of this, like, just to kind of wrap up this part of it, is I know we're gonna have so much more. You know, we're gonna get like teasers leading up to this thing, like nobody's business that we'll react to. But just digging into the term the Acolyte, we know what Acolyte stands for, and in its true definition, it's an attendant body to the service of a priest. So the first thing that came to my mind was Palpatine serving Plagueis, right? Like that's the first thing that I thought about, the Acolyte being Palpatine. That is the definition, and it comes from the Greek background of Kaleuthos, which is the path, and then Acoluthos, which is the following. So following the path. So it's leading down that pathway to darkness. So I think you're right. I think if we're going to see Palpatine, we're going to see him towards the end of this series, first season, or this series. I mean, I think the end of season two would be great.
Plagueis will be the main Sith.
Yes.
And then, because Sith are always planning to betray each other.
So yes.
Plagueis could be searching for a new apprentice because Palpatine is not cutting it out for him.
That would be something, right? And that would make a lot of sense too. The master's always looking for somebody to challenge who they saw as their original disciple, the person who would end up throwing them away at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a really cool storyline to go with. You know, maybe he's going around and he's looking for specific Jedi, the crew that we're going to see in this series, to try to corrupt them, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe he's gotten close and successful, and maybe it's turned and gone a complete wrong direction.
And we got a Jedi kind of centric show with Ahsoka, but this one, it's focusing solely on the Jedi, the Sith, and what their relationship is. From what I'm gathering, is it's gonna not dive in with just the Jedi, but the relationship with the Jedi and the Sith.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. Sean, any final thoughts here on the Acolyte trailer? Things that maybe you would like to see come in, like another teaser? Like, just be like, hey, what's that last thing that's going to grab me here? You know?
Only
grasp it.
Honestly, I'm just waiting to see. Like, I have really no thoughts right now. Like, everything's, like, still fresh in my mind. And I got, like,
no thoughts, head empty.
Yeah, exactly. I need to do more research for me, just personally, because I don't know much about the High Republic as much. I mean, I know a little bit of Holy Republic, but...
Yeah, it's a great chance to go back and read the High Republic content as well.
Yeah,
I'm reading the three books that I got.
I might start reading the comics.
The comics are good. Light of the Jedi is pretty good as well. They're kind of done in phases. Path of Vengeance, I think, is one of the newer ones. So that, I feel like, is going to tie in a little bit more with Acolyte, especially with it being called Path of Vengeance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I am so glad there's yellow lightsabers being prominently seen in this.
Yes.
Because absolutely. I think I said like a couple of podcasts.
Okay, when's their orange one then?
I don't know. When they half bleed a crystal, it turns orange.
Yeah. Works for me.
Because I think a few podcasts ago, I'm like, there's too many blue lightsabers.
Yeah, we gotta get some other colors in here. Yeah, no, it's gonna be really great. I mean, just I saw somebody on Twitter post, they're like, that is the most lightsabers we've seen light up in one scene since literally Clone Wars.
Yeah, but not only that, but if you remember the Old Republic trailers,
yes,
for the first one, all the red lightsabers turning on, that was straight a shot from that, but it was Jedi turning on their lightsabers.
They know that too, and that's why they chose to do this, because they know they're getting the gamers, the Old Republic, you know, fans of Star Wars, trying to bring them into this. Because I've talked to a couple Star Wars fans that are like, I'll go back and read the books, maybe I won't, you know, this and that, and they're Old Republic fans. So I think doing that specifically with this trailer was the hook, right? It was that, oh my goodness, I remember playing this.
Is it just me, or did it seem like the blades were a little shorter than usual?
They are. They seem a little bit shorter.
And a little skinnier.
Yeah.
But not as thick.
Not as thick. Not as thick, correct.
Not as thick.
Andrew, you wanted to do a quick little shout out here to a very special Mr. Williams?
It was announced earlier because D23 is going to be in August this year. They were announcing all the Disney Legends that they're going to have. And at the very end, they announce it's a long time coming, but John Williams is officially a Disney Legend.
He was already
a legend to begin with, but just that he gets the title now makes it even better.
Shout out to John Williams. You can finally retire. There we go.
Don't retire.
The man will never retire ever.
No. He can't go down with Dial of the Destiny.
No, that is for sure.
His score was fine.
Yeah, but the film itself.
Yeah.
Film itself fell a little flat.
At least he scored Obi-Wan Kenobi's theme for the series.
Just look at the numbers and you'll know.
who's doing the music for the Acolyte?
I looked that up earlier. I forget his name.
Yeah. No, it's really great to see John.
It is Michael Abel.
Oh, Michael. Yeah. Abel's. Yep.
What did he do? Let me look that up.
I saw a tweet about that too.
He did Detroit. He did.
Oh, Us, the Detroit out. With John Boyega.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he did Us and Get Out, which.
Oh, okay.
If they're going the murder.
Oh, he did Nope as well.
Yeah.
That was good. Okay. I haven't even done our Pepsi
Spark yet. Oh my God! It's already 45 minutes into this freaking podcast, you guys.
Oops. Because the Acolyte trailer, right? Like that's the major part of it. Okay, cue it up, Shaylin. Let's get into some PAX East talk because that's coming up on Friday, guys. I'm really pumped to go to Boston with all y'all at the Boston.
All y'all.
Andrew, what are you looking forward to most at PAX East?
Just going to a convention with you guys again. I've been going solo or with Renee here and there to other conventions, but like going as a whole group as Brick City Blockade / Commander Nerd just makes it even better, especially for PAX. And then a couple months down the road, Fan Expo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just so cool. And I'm so happy that we're able to do this together. And it's going to be a blast. I'm mostly going to be doing a vlog on the floor because that's where most of my audience would be the vlog on my YouTube channel. But either way, it's going to be a blast. And I'm so excited to experience it with you guys, especially your first convention, too. It's very rare to do that.
During Fan Expo, first time ever, was going to be bigger than... No, sorry. PAX East. We were just talking about Fan Expo. But doing PAX East for the first time is going to be crazy, especially doing with you guys. Mm-hmm. It's going to be bigger than Fan Expo, I think. I heard it's going to snow on Friday. I just let you guys know.
I just saw on my end it's cloudy.
Yeah, I think we're going to get lucky. I think it's going to be mostly rain and cloudy towards Boston and then snow north, which is, I think we're just going to luck out on that too, which is good.
Yeah. I'm excited just to see all the video game stuff and all the Dungeon Dragon stuff, Baldur's Gate. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a great time and we're going to do little interviews and
see lots of cool games.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cool games. Meet some merch.
It's going to be great to see all the vendors there too. Yeah. Meeting all the people. So that'd be fun.
I love it because it's untraditional for us. We really don't do gaming conventions.
Gaming.
We do the gaming conventions.
Cayman.
We're going to the Cayman Islands, guys. Let's go. Yeah.
I don't even have a passport.
Anyway,
you don't have a passport. Too bad for you.
I know. Right?
We can smuggle you there. It'll be the Kessel Run.
It's gonna be an awfully big suitcase to get this guy in it.
We'll make it work.
Stop.
We'll get two suitcases.
She bit me.
You deserve it.
I kind of do. No, but this is unconventional for us to go to convention. It's unconventional for us to go to a gaming convention, which I think is great. It's going to be a whole other audience. I have brand new cards to give out to folks.
Oh, shit. Look at that. We got lightsabers on there. Yeah. We got Robin Vote on the back.
Yeah.
We got balloons.
We have R2-D2 slapping the bass on the back, too.
Boom, boom, boom. What song is he playing?
That's a really great question. I think what I'll do is when we're at the convention, we'll do a little vlog for Brick City Blockade.
So you're stealing my idea.
Hold on a second here. No, if we do a vlog, Andrew's going to be inside of it. That's what's going to happen. Whoa, what is that supposed to mean?
Wait, what?
So when we hand one of these cards to somebody, we're going to ask them on the vlog, what kind of song is R2-D2 slapping, right? We're gonna do that.
D's nuts.
No, he's not.
You slapping D's nuts.
No.
C-3PO's nuts.
Snoke on the water.
Snoke on the water. Oh my goodness. It's going to be an absolute blast on Friday.
Way in the sky with diamonds.
Oh, jeez.
I can't wait to hear all the people who are going to make puns for your song now.
Oh,
Star Wars puns for songs.
So I'm really excited. We're going to meet up with some fantastic folks. Mm-hmm. The Academy of Gaming is actually one of our interviews that we're going to have. It's an arts academy that's specifically focused on bringing students in who are interested in coding and getting like really high profile jobs at like Blizzard and major gaming
companies. That's awesome.
So yeah. they're actually inviting us into their booth to have us interview them and for the students to actually show us the games that they're working on, and we get that's to play cool. them.
I am the representative cozy gamer. I will be looking for all of the fun cozy games and puzzle games. And
yes, Renee's mostly going to be looking for Goose Goose Duck stuff there. She's actually in a Discord channel with a lot of the creators of Goose Goose Duck. So
that's cool.
Nice. Is there anything specific, Sean, for you that you're looking forward to gaming-wise at the
gaming-wise? I know we're gonna miss it probably, but the NBA. But that's not North the line. They're doing Trixie though, the SSX game. So anything, any sports related or anything like, I'm gonna try any game. So if I like it, I'll like it.
Yeah, the exposure to games that I think we've never heard of before, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure a lot of the people that we're going to talk to are Star Wars gamers specifically, and people who love, like, the Star Wars games themselves, and took inspiration from those games growing up to develop their own, you know, product in their own games. So mm-hmm. I think we're going to learn a lot. And the other part of it, too, that's going to be really exciting is interacting with a fandom that we've interacted with here and there, right? Like the gaming crew that's out there. Mm-hmm. We talk to them every once in a while when Star Wars games come out and we're talking about them here on the podcast. But just the ability to be able to go into some of these booths and actually talk about what we do as well and promote what they are doing. Like, mm-hmm. I think that that's a great opportunity. And Sean, you were right before. PAX East is bigger than Fan Expo. I mean, the fact they have PAX West, PAX East, you know, Reed Pop
PAX South,
PAX West,
PAX West,
PAX South, Southwest.
That's what? West, Patrick.
Was it one in Texas, Houston, Texas? Is it South?
Southwest? PAX South, yeah. Yep, that's PAX South. I think that happens in Houston.
Houston?
I think it's in Houston, yeah. Okay, but also, guys, can we give a round of applause to ourselves for actually making it into a Reed Pop event? Like, Reed Pop events are very tough to get press passes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
The fact that all of us got press passes is amazing.
When was the last time that happened?
Fan Expo.
I didn't go because, you know, shitty year last year.
Yeah, I know. I think it'll be different this year, but it's...
But yeah, because I'll be there.
Exactly. No, we'll all be there. That's the best part.
Yes.
And no, it's yeah. it, I cannot. Yes. I see. This is what I'm talking about. This is
exactly going to happen at PAX.
Yeah,
all the content. I don't know if anybody really understands the amount of stuff that's going to go up on Instagram.
You know what? We should just do a live stream on the floor of PAX.
Yeah, I think that that's probably exactly what's going
to Instagram happen. Live.
We're going to find a spot. We're going to set up. We're going to pop the phone on, and we're going to Andrew, I saw that face.
What?
And,
we're just popping, lock, and drop it.
I ain't dropping shit, because I ain't getting back up.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm very similar. I have spaghetti legs, so that's not going to work.
No, you got thick legs.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're not skipping leg day, are you?
Every once in a while. Anyway. I'm super excited for Friday. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody, seeing folks. We have a lot of people we know that are going to be there. The HoloNet Martyrs podcast mm-hmm. is going to be there. They're actually doing a small little panel at PAX East. And
yeah, I saw that earlier.
Yeah, and they're local to Boston, so congratulations to Hollow Knight Martyrs. You guys get to do a live podcast there and supporting our Massachusetts folks, of course, Commander Nerd and all y'all folks who are doing amazing work down there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have a bunch of fans. When I put up on Instagram, are you going to PAX East this year? A lot of people messaging me on Instagram saying, hey, we didn't know you guys were going to be there. And I'm like, hey, didn't you see the last 8 posts we've been doing for the last month?
We've been flooding your feed with PAX East shit. Wait until Fan Expo is coming up.
Woo!
We'll flood it twice as much.
Yeah, it's going to be a
lot. I'm thinking a new shirt line.
What's that?
For Fan Expo, new Brick City Blockade.
Oh, line. Yes. Oh,
and hats.
Sean's been asking for the hats for a while. This is true.
Yes.
Shaylin's been telling me that too. She's like, are you going to do
and
that?
Rebel helmets and Mandalorian helmets.
Whoa, hold on. We're working on the budget. We're working
and basketball jerseys.
$2 to start.
I mean, it can be a $2 helmet. What might not fit? Might not fit.
Can we get basketball jerseys and we'll have our names on our back?
That'd be pretty sweet.
That'd be pretty dope.
Actually, the store just opened near me, Box Launch. They have the Vader baseball jerseys. So they actually have a lot of like nerd like jerseys and stuff like that. They have a fucking Shrek hockey jersey.
A Shrek hockey jersey?
Yes.
That's so weird.
But yeah, they have like actual like football jerseys for Star Wars stuff, soccer, not like the real football, yeah, not the, right. American football.
Yeah. I think
they have like a pod racing like NASCAR jacket.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know you sent the PAX East merch, Andrew. And that's good. There's some good stuff in there too.
Yeah,
they have some good merch.
Red shirt is what I'm probably going to be aiming for.
Yeah.
Also, one of my coworkers is going to be at PAX East as well. Nice. Alonzo, here's your shout out on the podcast.
My coworker is also going, but he's going on Thursday. So shout out to him.
We don't care about him.
No, Sean wants to do a nice shout out. What are you doing?
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Sean, give the shout out again one more time there for the good folks.
Shout out to you, Brandon. If you ever listen or watch.
just in case you stumble across this episode specifically. Guys, any final thoughts here as we wrap up when it comes to PAX East or what you're looking forward to? I mean, just getting down there and just
it's gonna be a blast. It makes it even more fun when we're all together just
yeah, it does.
Being our nerdy selves.
That is accurate for sure. Sean, any final thoughts?
Same
on that. And I will say it's going to be a blast for we're going to do the bus ride down to the South.
Bus State. Ride down.
We're going to do the bus ride down.
Busting.
New Hampshire. We're going to bust it out. We're going to make our way down to South Station, and then we're going to head right to the convention center. So, yeah, really excited for Friday. And I hope that all of you can join us on the convention floor. It looks like there are still some limited passes available. Yeah. Like they've opened them up for folks to grab them. So Friday, the Brick City Blockade will be there. We hope to see you on the convention floor. Make sure to get a picture with us.
If you want to be in the vlog on my channel, or if Brick City does a vlog because they like stealing my ideas.
Of course.
yes. You're the
just find us. We're pretty easy to find. Just find the tall Robin.
The tall Robin.
Just find my beard. You'll find it.
Yeah, actually, Sean's beard is
actually, pretty. I think, yeah, Sean's is the biggest beard that we have in the group.
Yeah, it's like down here.
It would have been Sean, then me, but I had to trim my beard a little bit.
I saw a little bird beak pop out of there going, tweet, tweet, tweet.
Oh, there he is. Go down.
Anyway, guys, we look forward to seeing you on Friday, but hey, it's not an episode of the podcast until we do this one thing. It's a little thing we like to call not that. No, it's fine. Andrew, what'd you call it? I'm sorry.
Butt plug time.
No, it's not butt plug time.
Nut time?
No. It's not that either.
I'm proud of you, Sean.
It's plug time.
Well, I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
Sean Michaud, where can the good people find you on social media?
You guys can follow me on Twitter, Sean Michaud 1, Instagram at Zone Z, and you can add me on Facebook.
No Bandcamp still? We're not doing. Oh, I miss going Bandcamp.
You can find me on Bandcamp.
You can still say it.
Yeah, you guys follow me on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
Or SoundCloud. I haven't been on there for like 2 years, 3 years. So.
Well, no, you're on there with Brick City Blockade.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I mean, yeah.
So you're a liar.
Commander Nerd, yes. Andrew Gerrish, where can the good people find you on social media?
You can find me on YouTube at Commander Nerd, Twitter, Commander Nerd. Instagram Andrew62592. I think it's still that. I don't know. I don't know my Instagram.
Oh, it is. You're funny about that.
Better get that fixed.
No. You can maybe find me on Facebook, but I probably won't accept your friend request.
Sean does that too.
That too, yeah.
Find me at PAX East.
Hey, here it is.
Find and me. Fan Expo. And Silver Scream Con and Metallica in August.
Look at that.
You guys could see me in Japan on next year. So
wait, we're going to Celebration?
No, I'm going to Japan next year.
Oh.
Lucky duck.
I thought this was gonna be the reveal. Brick City Blockade invades
if you guys want to come. Celebration.
Oh, if only. If only.
I mean, if Star Wars Theory can get in there, we should be able to.
But remember, he was at the airport and he's like, hey guys, to everybody who's...
No, he was invited there the year before that or a couple of years
ago. Oh, that's right. No, you're right.
But it was Lego that invited him. So we got to get good with Lego.
Okay, we got it. So we got to work that. Okay
so
Lego, if you want to sponsor us, I have a great idea for you guys.
Okay, I'm going to go buy a Lego set and I'm going to build it during the podcast. Okay, got it.
Yes. Oh, that's a good way to do it.
The Star Destroyer.
Yeah, you got
to do Super Star Destroyer. That will take up your entire basement.
Yeah. But I'm going to have
Sean turns around. Like, do I have enough room? Is Dad going to get mad? You guys can follow the Brick City Blockade over at Real Fandom Talk on Instagram at Real Fandom Talk.
Is it Brick City Blockade or is it Real Fandom Talk now?
So it's at Real Fandom Talk across social media. But if you just search Brick City Blockade, we come right up. It's the first thing.
Okay.
Why
but,
is our handle different from our title?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really look forward to seeing you guys over at PAX East.
Just like a politician, he drives.
Make sure to follow me over on Instagram at underscore.
Which Instagram? You got like five.
Robin W. Vote. Actually, one of them got taken down, which I thought was actually quite hilarious.
Wait, why did it get taken down?
Tell us.
A story for another time. You guys can also follow me over on Twitter at x underscore Robin W. Vote.
She only posted his nudes?
Yeah.
And everybody else can also check out the Brick City Blockade. Subscribe on iTunes, over on Spotify.
And YouTube.
And YouTube as well, right here, live. So
they gotta get that fucking content out there.
Are we still on Stitcher?
Yeah, we are. I think we are still on Stitcher. Yeah.
Stitcher and are we still on SoundCloud? No.
Yeah, we're still on SoundCloud.
I just said we were.
Whoa. Good Sean, you got Andrew.
All right, sorry.
I think you're talking about my stuff on SoundCloud.
No.
Hey. We'll catch you guys in Boston on Friday. PAX East 2024, Brick City Blockade Commander.
Not before Andrew and I get into a fight there, so.
I'll
bring my lightsaber.
And until next time, guys, hey, may the force be with you.
Maybe.
I'll bring my fists.
I'll bring my feet.
Night, everybody.